Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Welcome to another edition of Luke's English Podcast, and in this episode, you're going to learn lots of really good, really useful, very common, natural vocabulary and expressions, all of them related to the subject of childhood, growing up, and school days. Okay, now what I've done here is I was just thinking about like my childhood, days gone by, and I just wrote down a list of sort of just expressions that I think people would commonly use when they're talking about growing up, being a child, going to school, that kind of thing. So what I've done is I've written down a list of things that sort of happened to me when I was a kid, the things I did when I was a kid. What my experience of school was like, and I've tried to include in it lots of phrasal verbs and lots of other expressions which I think are very common related to this subject. Okay, so what we're going to do first is I'm just going to kind of tell you about my childhood and my experience of growing up and my school days, and in that you'll hear loads and loads of different expressions. So first time round, just listen to it carefully, maybe try to identify some of the sort of natural expressions that I'm using. Then when I finish doing that, I will go through each expression in a bit more detail and kind of explain how they're used and what they mean. Okay, so let's get started. So childhood, my childhood. Well, I was born in 1977. And in fact, my mum gave birth to me on a Sunday in 1977. My parents decided to name me Luke. They decided to call me Luke. Now, I wasn't named after Luke Skywalker, even though I was in 1977. I wasn't named after Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, although I am a big Star Wars fan. I've always loved Star Wars, but I wasn't named after him. And I wasn't named after Cool Hand Luke, the Paul Newman movie, either. Instead, I was actually named after my great-great-grandfather, who was also called Luke. And my mum, in particular, really looked up to him because he was like a very successful person in our family. And so basically, my mum really looked up to him. So they decided to kind of, I think they liked the name Luke anyway, but they also partly wanted to name me after my great-great-grandfather. So I grew up in West London. That's where we lived, in a place called Ealing in West London. So that's where I grew up initially. In fact, I grew pretty quickly. My parents used to measure me on the wall. So I'd stand on the wall and they'd use a pencil to mark a line on the wall. And then every few months or something, they'd measure me again and we could see how much I'd grown. So I grew pretty quickly, like most kids grow pretty fast. I was brought up by my parents, of course. My parents brought me up, I think, to be quite a good lad. My parents were quite strict sometimes, but not too strict. I don't think I was spoiled as a child either. I mean, there were plenty of things that we weren't allowed. For example, we weren't allowed to watch James Bond movies or The A-Team. I wasn't allowed to have a TV in my bedroom, for example. I wasn't allowed to eat too many sweets, things like that. But they weren't too strict either. My parents were comfortable with money, but not really well off or rich or wealthy, but they were just comfortable. So I wasn't really born with a silver spoon in my mouth or anything like that. I'm just from a normal family. My parents and family used to say that I looked, that I took after my dad. They said that I really took after my dad because I looked like him and I was quite sporty and good at music like him. So I could be a bit naughty and badly behaved at times, and my parents would sometimes tell me off and send me to my room. But it was never that serious. Actually, I went through quite a kind of naughty phase. I was quite stubborn for a few years. I remember like my mum having trouble kind of like if she took me to the shops when we walked back, if I was kind of like annoyed or something, I would just stop walking and say, "I'm not moving," you know, kind of. So I was quite naughty and a bit stubborn, but I grew out of it. Actually, I grew out of that phase. I have an older brother, so I would get a lot of his old clothes. So I'd wear his hand-me-down clothes. And we also used to play with toys that had been handed down by my dad and my uncle. So we had all these old toys that we used to play with that had been handed down by my father. I kind of went through a sort of lying phase for a little while when I was a kid. I think that's quite normal for children. And my parents would sort of suspect that I was lying about something. You know, they would know that I was telling fibs or telling tall tales, and they'd just sort of make me own up to it, you know. But I got over my lying phase, and I kind of grew out of it. I was quite hyperactive as a kid. I always had, you know, too much energy. I was always full of beans. My parents would wonder where I'd get my energy from. It turns out the orange squash that I used to drink when I was a kid was just full of E numbers, so full of chemicals that made me hyperactive. Sometimes my brother and I would stay up late listening to the radio or playing with our Star Wars figures. Obviously, we had to be very quiet because we weren't allowed to stay up past a certain time. I used to look up to my older brother quite a lot. He's only 2 years older than me, but that's quite a lot when you're a kid. So, you know, I used to look up to him. He had cool friends. I'd sort of enjoy hanging out with him and kind of watching him do his artwork. He used to do lots of art, and I'd kind of sit there watching him do his art. So I kind of looked up to him. To be honest, I was probably quite an annoying little brother, and sometimes he would just tell me to get lost and things like that. Birthdays and Christmas were always really great days, and I'd look forward to them so much that I'd be literally counting down the days before my birthday, and then I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before. When you're a kid, your teeth are quite important, because really your first set of teeth, your baby teeth or your milk teeth, they kind of would fall out sometimes, and that was always quite a big event when a tooth came out, and you'd try to keep the tooth and then put it under your pillow for the tooth fairy, who would come in the night and replace it with a coin. This is like one of those things that you believe when you're a child. The only thing is that I was actually scared of the tooth fairy. I was afraid of it, frightened of the tooth fairy. And so I would actually put my pillow outside my room in the hallway with the tooth under it. And then that way the tooth fairy didn't have to come into my bedroom because I was scared of it. It's kind of pathetic, I know. I also found out when I was a child that Father Christmas, Santa Claus, wasn't real. When one night I couldn't sleep because I was too excited, and sometime during the night someone entered the room and started filling my stocking with presents. I thought it was Father Christmas, so I pretended to be asleep, but I secretly watched him. It was my dad, and he wasn't even dressed as Santa. So obviously then I realised that Santa didn't really exist. I went to a nursery school, which is a kind of preschool when you're about sort of 3 or 4 years old. And all I remember doing there is just playing games. Then I went to quite a normal comprehensive state school. In the UK here, in Britain, the names of our schools can be a bit confusing. Because basically, first of all, you have comprehensive schools, and those are ones which are paid for by the government. So they're like state schools, free schools, let's say, comprehensive schools or state schools. Then you've got private schools, which are, you have to pay to go to one of those schools. So you have to pay, and most of them have kind of entry level exams. You have to be a certain level of student to get into a private school, and then your parents have to pay. Okay, but then you've got the top level schools, and those, strangely, are called public schools. Now, Public schools are actually just private schools. They're very exclusive private schools. And what we would call a public school would be a comprehensive school, right? So actually in England, a public school is like a very, very, very difficult to get into and very expensive, very high level. These are schools like Eton and Harrow. Prince William went to Eton, I think. Just going to give you an example of what kind of school that is. So I just went to comprehensive school. And the first school you go to is your primary school. That's from age about 5 to 11. And then from primary school you move on to secondary school. Secondary school would be kind of 11 to about 15 or 16 years old. And then if you can leave school then and get a job if you want. But if you choose to, you can go on to study more. And you would do... you'd probably go to a college, like a sixth form college. When you're 15 or 16, you take exams called GCSEs, and most people take about 9 subjects. Things like English language, English literature, history, geography, physics, biology, chemistry, stuff like, you know, maths, maybe French, drama, music, things like that. And then after that you go on to do A-levels, which is the next level of qualification. And you take your A-levels when you're about 18 years old, and most people take about 3 A-levels or maybe about 6 AS-levels. And then once you've get your A-levels, you can then sort of apply to go to university, and you need certain number of A-levels to get into good universities. In the universities here, you've got basically like... probably like 3 types of university here. The most famous ones are obviously Oxford and Cambridge. They're very well established, very famous universities. And those two universities together are called Oxbridge. So if you went to an Oxbridge university, it means you go to a very good university. Then the next level of university, and these are also excellent places, the next level down, would be the red brick universities. And they're called that because they're typically, the buildings are made using red brick, because they were built, let's see, around the turn of the century, maybe a bit earlier than then. So that was the typical of the architecture at the time, though. Buildings would be constructed using red bricks. So those are the red brick universities, and they're very good. Then the third level of university would be the ex-polytechnic universities or former polytechnic universities. A polytechnic college, actually, sort of 20 or 30 years ago, would have been a college of further education that specialised in technical qualifications. And they actually gained the right to be called universities some time ago. And then they offered similar courses to the other universities in the country. And those are called ex-polytechnic universities. Or ex-polys. I went to an ex-polytechnic university called Liverpool John Moores, and actually the department in which I studied was very good. It had a very good reputation. So all of those universities are the sort of 3 types of university. So I went to primary school when I was a kid, of course. I absolutely hated my first day. I didn't want to go at all. My mum had to drag me in to the building, literally, and I cried. It was an absolute nightmare. But, you know, I got used to it slowly. And when I was 9 years old, my dad got a promotion in his job. And so we moved out of London, and we moved to an area basically in the countryside, just in the middle of nowhere. And so we moved from like the city out into the countryside, which was quite a big change. I went to a countryside school, which was quite weird because I was a city lad, you know. I was from the city, a city kid. And all the other kids kind of picked on me because I talked differently. I didn't really get bullied, but I did get picked on. Eventually I learned to stand up for myself, and the other kids stopped picking on me. Now, I wasn't really a swot or a teacher's pet, but I was quite bright, if a little bit cheeky at times. I was quite cheeky to my teachers, but I got away with it because basically I was nice. A couple of times I got told off by teachers. I got a couple of detentions, and I had to write lines as punishment. In those days, there was no physical punishment at school. The cane had been banned some years before. Now, I usually did my homework, although sometimes I didn't do it, and I'd have to give some kind of bad excuse, like I lost it or something like that. Some kids were really badly behaved. They'd kind of bunk off school or bully the other kids. Some kids got expelled or suspended. My school was a bit rough, but, you know, that's quite normal, really, for comprehensive schools. Obviously, I had to wear a uniform in every school that I went to. I had to wear a uniform. In my secondary school, my uniform was that I had to wear black trousers, black shoes, a white or grey shirt, a black blazer, which had a badge on it, and a school tie, which had a particular colour. My school tie was black with red diagonal stripes, and my previous school was a blue tie with yellow stripes across it. So I had to wear a uniform, which I think is quite good, really. It's quite a good idea to make kids wear uniforms, because at least it makes all the children kind of the same. You know, you don't get that sense that some of the kids are very poor, some of the kids are kind of very rich or well off. Instead, if they all wear the same clothes, it means they're kind of on an equal kind of level, which I think is a good thing. You also get the idea that when you're in a uniform, it feels like you're being prepared for work. You know, like later on, when you wear a suit, when you go to work, it feels like you're wearing a school uniform. So I guess it's kind of quite clever, really, as a way of training people to be a little bit formal or something. I don't know. So I started growing up into my teenage years. So I became a teenager. I became an adolescent. You know, I had all those physical changes. I went through puberty. Basically, I got through school okay, despite the difficulties that you typically go through when you're a kid. In the UK, secondary school can be quite tough because of peer pressure from the other kids. You feel very sensitive at that time, and it's hard because you're really learning who you are. There's lots of hormones racing around inside your body, and you're changing a lot physically. It can be very embarrassing at that time of your life. Now, in the UK, you have to just kind of get by without losing the respect of the other kids. You have to be quite popular in order to just avoid embarrassment or avoid being picked on and bullied. You have to try and impress girls, avoid the bullies, be popular, be quite good at sport, or if you're not good at sport, you have to be funny. You shouldn't be too geeky or swotty. You should basically avoid trouble with the teachers. Do your work, get good results, and keep your parents happy. That's basically what you've got to achieve at school. It can be hard. I survived by playing football just all the time. I was completely obsessed with football, and every moment would be spent playing football or thinking about football. I also learned to play the piano, and that was like my own private thing that I'd do on my own, just play the piano. That was a very nice experience, and I kind of learned that I had some kind of skill as a musician. I kind of lived in my own world, really. I feel like I was just kind of slightly disconnected, just in my own world. I listened to lots of good music on my Walkman all the time. And I had all these tapes that had been given to me by my uncle and my dad. And they listened to lots of really good music. So I was listening to things like Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and things like that. And the Clash and the Sex Pistols and these great bands that I'd been introduced to, and I was like 13 years old. I was listening to this music on my Walkman all the time. So I think none of my friends really liked that music until later, until they left school, and then they decided that they liked that music. So personally, I feel like I was quite ahead of my time in that way. You know, adolescence gave me lots of spots. I had lots of spots on my face. I had greasy hair. I was quite self-conscious and awkward. You know, I was really too embarrassed to be cool, so I used to just make lots of really bad jokes all the time. Nothing's really changed there, I'd imagine. I was quite kind of awkward, quite uncomfortable with girls. I was, you know, fairly popular with them, but I couldn't really imagine having a girlfriend because I just wasn't really confident enough. I studied quite well at school. I mean, I often would lose concentration, but I was quite imaginative, so I did all right. I got quite good GCSEs, and particularly in drama and music. I left school at 16, and I went to college. That was really quite a different world. And I kind of realised that when I left school, it was brilliant. I just sort of didn't have to wear a uniform at college, and I was with lots of other kids of the same age as me from different places that had never met me before. And I really felt like I could sort of become myself, and I actually learnt to have a personality, I think, for the first time when I went to college. And then I kind of grew up and sort of became an adult, and that's a separate story, that one, separate podcast. So there you go, that's a little story of kind of my childhood there, just a very brief sort of summary of what it was like to be a kid. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and that's kind of what it was like. So you may have heard lots and lots of expressions in there. You might have heard some language you didn't understand, some expressions that you may have heard before but you're not sure what they mean, or just some things that you've heard many times and you know what they mean and you think, oh, that's great, I already know that expression, that's very good. So what I'd like to do now is just go back through everything I've just said there and look at some of the specific expressions and bits of language that I used.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, so there's so much language, so many expressions that I just used there. Let's go through them. First one, I was born, right? So obviously, I'm sure you know that expression, to be born, like I was born, he was born, fine. In 1977, obviously we use a preposition like that with a year. So when you're describing the year, then you'd say in, like in 1977, in 1993, whatever. So my mum gave birth to me, or she had me. That means the actual physical act of, like, you know, producing a child in a hospital. You give birth to someone. So my mum gave birth to me. To name something, I said my parents decided to name me Luke, or to call me Luke. To name a child, it's just to give the child its name. And then I said I wasn't named after Luke Skywalker. To be named after someone. To be named after someone. I wasn't named after Luke Skywalker. So to be named after someone means to be given the same name as someone else. So it could be the same name as someone older than you in your family, or maybe just named after a famous person. For example, recently David Beckham and Victoria Beckham had a baby girl, and I think they decided to name her Harper 7. Now, the word Harper, they chose that because of the author of a great book called To Kill a Mockingbird, and that was written by Harper Lee. And apparently they love that book, so they decided to name their daughter after Harper Lee, the writer of To Kill a Mockingbird, right? So in my case, my parents decided to name me after, or I was named after my great-great-grandfather. So, like a person in my family. Now, my mum really looked up to him. to look up to someone, to look up to someone. That means that you, can you look up to someone younger than you? I think you can. If you look up to someone, it just means you really respect them. You think that they're great and you really respect who they are. So it could be for anyone older than you or younger than you. Usually someone that you know, I think. Normally someone you know, like a friend or a member of your family, to look up to someone. So my mum really looked up to my great-great-grandfather because he was a very successful person. You know, he was a businessman and so on. So I grew up in West London, and I grew pretty quickly. Now, the difference between to grow and to grow up, well, to grow up means to sort of slowly change from being a young child to an older child to an adult. So it's that process of changing from a child into a teenager and a teenager into an adult to grow up, right? But to grow, it's just like physically to become taller. Just like the way a plant grows, you also grow, you become taller, right? So I grew pretty quickly. I was brought up by my parents. I was brought up by my parents. That means they were responsible for helping me to grow up, right? So they educated me, looked after me, and so on. So they brought me up. Another way of saying that is that they raised me. So I was raised by my parents, or I was brought up by my parents, okay? So they brought me up to be quite a good lad. A lad is an informal word for like a young man, a lad. So I was quite a good lad. My parents were quite strict. Strict means tough, you know, imposing lots of discipline and punishments. Strict. They were quite strict, but not too strict. I don't think I was spoilt or spoiled as a child. Now, if you're spoiled or spoilt, it means that your parents are going to give you everything that you want. And then eventually, because you always get everything you want, you become like a really sort of horrible, demanding child who expects to have everything that they want at all times. And nothing is good enough. So that's like a spoilt child. Some of my friends were quite spoilt when I was a kid. And I'd go to their house and they would have everything. All the newest computer games, all the newest toys. But they were never really happy with any of it. Whereas with me and my brother, we had some new toys, but we were quite happy to just be creative with the old stuff that we had. So we weren't really spoilt or spoiled. There were plenty of things that we weren't allowed to do. So to be allowed to do something. To be allowed to do something, that's, you know, when you're given permission to do it. So there were lots of things that we weren't allowed to do. For example, we weren't allowed to watch James Bond or The A-Team. I had no TV in my room and so on. No, not too many sweets. In British English, we say sweets. In America, they say candy or candy. So we call them sweets. My parents were quite comfortable, but not really well off or rich or wealthy. So well off is just another word for kind of rich. Wealthy is another word for rich, basically. Oops, I've just lost my page. Here we go. So I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. If you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, it means you're born into kind of an advantage. So you're born into a rich family, for example. Like Prince William, you know, was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Right, for example. My parents and my family said that I took after my dad. So if you take after someone, it means that you look like someone who is older than you in your family. You look like them, and also your personality is quite similar too. So you take after someone older than you. You can't take after a friend. You can only take after someone in your family who's older than you. So I took after my dad because I looked like him, and also I was good at sport, and I was good at music, the same as my dad. So I could be a bit naughty. So if you're naughty as a child, it means you're kind of bad, like a bad boy, you know, bad child. So naughty, a naughty child would like do things that they shouldn't do, maybe lie occasionally, things like that, sort of get into trouble at school. So I was quite naughty and a little bit badly behaved at times. So badly behaved, that means that you do bad things as a kid. The opposite of that is well behaved. If you're well behaved, it means you do all the right things and you make your parents happy. So I was badly behaved. My parents would tell me off and send me to my room. So to tell someone off means to, like, you know, angrily reprimand someone. So, you know, like if a child does something wrong, then the parents will tell him off, like, "I've told you not to do that. Don't you listen to me? I told you not to do that. Now go straight to your room and don't come back." You know, that kind of thing. So to tell someone off. So my parents would tell me off sometimes. They'd send me to my room, but it was never really that serious. I went through a naughty phase. A phase is like a period of time, like a sort of short period of time. So if you go through a naughty phase, it means you go through a period where you're kind of naughty. So I went through a naughty phase. I was quite stubborn. Stubborn means that if you don't want to do something, you won't do it. Right, like a donkey. You know the animal, the donkey, is quite stubborn. If it doesn't want to move, you can't make it move. So stubborn. I was a little bit stubborn sometimes, but I grew out of it. I grew out of it. So if you grow out of something, it means that as you become older, you stop doing something, or you change slightly. So as I got older, I stopped being naughty and stubborn. I grew out of it. I said I've got an older brother. I'd get a lot of his old clothes, his hand-me-down clothes. So hand-me-downs are like old clothes that usually like your older brother or sister has grown out of, and they give them to you and you wear them. So hand-me-down clothes. We also used to play with toys that had been handed down by my dad. If you hand something down, or if something is handed down, it means it passes from one generation to the next generation. So you can hand down like toys, or you can hand down stories as well. Handed down from generation to generation. I went through a lying phase, so that's a period of time when I was lying a bit. My parents would kind of know that I was telling fibs. A fib, or telling fibs, fibs are little lies. Or telling tall tales. If you're telling tall tales, it means you're telling lies. And they would make me own up to it. So to own up to something is to admit. So I would go, "Yes, I'm lying, okay, I admit it," and I'd cry or something. So to own up to it. I grew out of my lying phase. I was quite hyperactive. If you're hyperactive, it means you have too much energy and you're running around, you know, running around with far too much energy. I was full of beans. If you're full of beans, it means you're full of energy. I think that's probably because beans are actually full of protein and carbohydrate and energy. So if you're full of beans, it means you're full of energy. My parents would wonder where I'd got my energy from. And it turns out the orange squash that I used to drink was full of E numbers. So orange squash is a kind of orange drink. It's cordial. You add some of it to a glass and then you fill it up with water. And I used to drink this bright orange squash. And it was, of course, full of E numbers. Those are chemicals that begin with the letter E. For example, E102, which was the chemical that made kids very hyperactive. And it used to come in orange squash and ice cream. Sometimes my brother and I would stay up late. So if you stay up late, it just means that you don't go to sleep. You know, you just stay awake. Don't go to sleep at night. So we'd stay up late playing with Star Wars figures. Those are the toys that you get, you know, from the Star Wars movies. We weren't allowed to stay up. I used to look up to my older brother a lot. So I've already explained to look up to someone, it means to kind of respect them. So I used to think my brother was cool because he had like cool friends and he was good at art. But I was probably quite annoying, quite irritating. So sometimes he would just tell me to get lost. Get lost means go away. It's the sort of thing you would say to a child. Just get lost, meaning go away. Birthdays and Christmas were always great. I'd look forward to them. So if you look forward to something or look forward to doing something, means that you really want it to happen. You can't wait. You're really excited about something that's going to happen and really looking forward to it. I'd look forward to my birthday. The teeth, of course, my milk teeth would fall out and so on. I explained all of that. And then Santa and all that stuff. So and then I went to school and I explained the details of the different school systems we have in the UK. And then my dad got a promotion and we moved into the countryside, into the middle of nowhere. If something is in the middle of nowhere, it's in a very deserted, remote area with like not much civilization around it. So often in the middle of the countryside, in the middle of the nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. So it was a bit strange for me, a bit weird. The kids picked on me. If you pick on someone, it means you kind of, you know, you sort of say, you make jokes about that person, maybe identify things about that person that you don't like and then talk about those things and make the person feel bad. So to pick on someone. So the kids used to pick on me about my accent because I spoke in a different accent because I was from London. So they'd be like, oh, why have you got a weird accent? What's the matter with you? You know, so they would pick on me. Let's see, where am I? They picked on me a bit, but I didn't get bullied. To bully someone or to get bullied by someone, that means that's more serious than being picked on. It's like a kind of sort of like abuse that children give to other children, like maybe hitting them or saying very, very upsetting things, stealing money from them, that kind of thing. It's being bullied. It's very serious. So I didn't really get bullied. So I learned to stand up for myself. If you stand up for yourself, it basically means that you defend yourself. So if the other kids are picking on me, I would say, look, just shut up. Yeah, you've got a weird voice too. You know, that kind of thing. So I'd stand up for myself. And they stopped picking on me. I wasn't a SWAT or a teacher's pet. A SWAT is someone who just does all their work. They're boring because they just do schoolwork. The teacher's pet is like the teacher's favourite student. The teacher's pet would sit at the front and try and be very helpful all the time. Teacher's pet. I was quite bright, a little bit cheeky. If you're cheeky, it means you say slightly rude things, but you're kind of being funny as well. So I was a little bit cheeky with my teachers sometimes, and I would say slightly rude things to them, but I'd kind of get away with it. If you get away with it, it means you do something bad, but you don't get punished or you don't get caught. So I, you know, for example, the bank robbers got away with it. They just escaped with the money. They didn't get caught. So I would be a bit cheeky, a little bit rude to my teachers sometimes, but I would get away with it because I was quite a nice kid, really. So I did, you know, I did get told off by my teachers. Remember, to be told off or to tell someone off is to, like, you know, to kind of shout at someone, why haven't you done your homework, Thompson? Right, in my office now. You know, that kind of thing. So I did get told off. I got a couple of detentions. A detention is a kind of punishment where, for example, you have to stay at school at the end of the day, maybe for half an hour. You have to stay at school and do some work in the school. That's a detention. Or I had to write lines. So if you write lines, that's a kind of punishment. So typically, you'd have to write a line of text over and over and over and over and over again. I remember once having to write the line, honesty is the best policy, because I lied about my homework. Honesty is the best policy. And I had to write honesty is the best policy 100 times on a piece of paper as a punishment. And I have remembered it, actually. I have remembered honesty is the best policy. And I think it's true. It is better to be honest as a person. If you lie, then in the end, you just create problems for yourself later on. So there was no physical punishment in school when I was a kid. There was no cane. The cane was like a long, thin piece of wood. And if you were a bad kid, if you were badly behaved, the headmaster would hit you on the hand or maybe on the bottom with the cane. And it apparently was very, very painful. But the cane was banned. It was stopped by the government before I went to school. Now, I usually did my homework, but sometimes I didn't, and I'd have to give excuses An excuse is a reason why you haven't done something or a reason why you didn't do it. And sometimes it's a lie. So, for example, if someone asks you to go to dinner but you don't want to go, you'd have to give an excuse. Like you'd say, oh, that sounds great, but I'm really sorry, but tonight I'm washing my hair, for example. That's a typical kind of bad excuse. When you're a kid, you give excuses for not doing your homework. So you say, oh, I'm really sorry, miss. My dog ate it. My dog ate my homework, which is a typical bad excuse as a kid. Some kids were really badly behaved and they got expelled. If you get expelled from school, it means you have to leave the school and never come back. So you're ejected or expelled. Some students were suspended. That means that they were just told to leave the school for just a period of time. So maybe a few months before they could come back, they were suspended. My school was a bit rough. So rough means a little bit tough, maybe a little bit like dangerous, like the other kids were a little bit nasty. You know, they came from quite bad areas, so my school was a little bit rough. But that's quite normal, really, for comprehensive school. I had to wear a uniform, and I explained the uniform thing. I started growing up into my teenage years, so I became a teenager. Obviously, teenage is from when you become 13 to 19 years old. Teenage. So I became a teenager, I became an adolescent. Adolescent is just that. If you're an adolescent, it means you're changing from being, for example, a child into an adult, like a young adult. So it's like the teenage period. I went through puberty. Puberty is the process of sort of changing into an adult, and it means that you your voice drops, your voice goes deeper, you start growing hair in different places in your body, and other changes occur. You start, for example, becoming much more interested in girls than you were before, that kind of thing. So I went through puberty. So I'd explained that the school can be quite tough sometimes. Peer pressure. Your peers are the people on the same level as you, like the same age as you. And so peer pressure comes from the fact that when all your peers are doing something, there's a lot of pressure for you to do it too. Otherwise, you will look you'll look strange or something. So a lot of peer pressure. You feel sensitive. Lots of hormones. Hormones are those chemicals that are produced by your body, and they travel around inside your body and they change the way you feel. And when you're a teenager, there are lots of hormones flying around inside you. And you're changing a lot physically. It can be very embarrassing. You shouldn't be too geeky. If you're a geek, it's a bit like a SWAT, just someone who's interested in doing work or maybe working with computers. So that's a geek. You shouldn't try to be too geeky. I listened to good music on my Walkman. I was quite ahead of my time. If you're ahead of your time, it means that you do things before everyone else does them. So, like, for example, David Bowie, the musician, was really ahead of his time because he played music and did things that everyone in the 1980s did 10 years later. He'd already done it before. He was really ahead of his time. So I feel like I was quite ahead of my time because I listened to music that all my friends started listening to like 3 or 4 years later. I got spots on my face. Spots are like those red marks you get on your face when you're a teenager. I had greasy hair. Greasy hair, that's when your hair is like really bad and you have, it's like oil or grease in your hair, you know? So I had spots and I had greasy hair. I was really self-conscious. That means when you're really sort of conscious of yourself, where you feel embarrassed or uncomfortable. I felt really awkward. That means uncomfortable and embarrassed. So I studied quite well. I used to lose concentration. That means that you can't focus for a long period of time on your work. Your mind wanders away into different areas. So I would lose concentration a lot. And then finally, I got my GCSEs and I went to sixth form college. And that's another story. So there you go. Those are the expressions that I just used in my explanation of my childhood. If you want to see those expressions written down, then I highly recommend that you visit my webpage, and that's teacherluke.podomatic.com, and there you will find all of those expressions written down for you. If you want to know again what they mean, the definitions, just listen to this again. In fact, I highly recommend that you listen to these podcasts more than once. Listen to them like a few times, because with each time you listen to one, you'll really get to know the vocabulary a lot more. So if you listen to it just once, that's not enough. You need to listen to it a few times to really sort of remember all of the words and expressions that I've explained to you. So that's it. That's it for this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again at some point in the very near future. That's it. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.